Hello and welcome. I'm Penelope Jane Smith. And in this special training, we are going to dive into MPX part three, the third and final chapter of our MPX trilogy here. So if you haven't watched part one and two of the MPX investment strategy, we do encourage you to do that because what you're going to learn here today works with that foundation. And today's training is still going to make sense on its own. So if you haven't watched one and or two, like that's okay. But we do encourage you to go back and watch those when you can, just to like deepen your understanding of this strategy. So let's talk about what we're going to cover today in MPX part three. You're going to learn how to evaluate single stocks. This is a question that has come up a lot. So you can tell immediately how a company is doing and if it's worth investing your hard-earned money. This also helps you with other strategies that we maybe don't focus on so much here, but like if you trade covered calls, for example, this will help you be more successful with that. We'll talk about why it's important to understand the difference between the two worlds of money, the make money world and the grow money world, and how they have different rules, how to cultivate the mindset of a successful investor, surprising brain hacks to protect and maximize your returns. We'll talk about how to transition from your current portfolio to MPX if you want to. And the number one reason that people fail with investing and how to avoid this dangerous pitfall. So today you're going to learn a new way of looking at single stocks that just cuts through 95% of the noise in the investment world. And you will understand the absolutely critical distinction that you need that most financial experts and investors completely leave out, which is really like 80% of the game. So this is a powerful, powerful training. And since we're talking about investing, of course, I have to once again give a legal disclaimer here every time. So I'm not a financial planner. I don't sell financial products. I don't give financial advice. This training is for educational purposes only. Please review the full disclaimer in parts one and two of this training. Okay, so let's start by reviewing a few concepts from MPX part one and two that are going to come into play here, like the foundation we're going to build on for MPX part three. So first of all, do you remember what MPX even means? So write in the chat if you know any of it, just the MP or both. Do you remember what MPX means? Okay. No one's typing in yet. So if you don't remember, I'm happy to tell you. Nope. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate that. So MP is for market probability, market probability. This means asking, is the market in high or low probability mode? In other words, should I be in or out of the stock market, right? In or out. So that's MP, market probability. And then X is that X factor that allows you to accelerate the growth of your money even more. Okay, so that's what MPX stands for. And we talked about why in general, I don't recommend trading. If you remember this is the Dalbar research stats that I shared at Financial Freedom 101. Statistically, you'll do about three times worse than if you just did a buy and hold strategy with the S&P 500. And that would probably be like 6X or more worse than if you did MPX. Now, if you like trading, stocks, options, doing cover calls, like it can be worth it, but you just need clear rules, which we cover in a separate wealth training called trading strategies. So if you want to trade, make sure to watch that training. You learned that 93.6% of your portfolio's performance is based on being in the right asset class. You discovered the power of using price charts to leverage that pattern recognition part of your brain. So you can tell right away if something is going up, down, or I don't know, right? You also learned why we use the S&P 500 as a benchmark. And you can invest in an S&P 500 index fund practically for free. So this is basically your free rate of return, right? This is the thing you have to beat. And if you can't beat it, join it, right? Like, if you can't beat it, why would you want to be out of it? You discovered that using moving averages, specifically the 70-day and 121-day exponential moving averages, helps you eliminate the vast majority of the noise and confusion when you're looking at a price chart. And you learned how to use moving averages to tell if the market is in green light mode, meaning there is a high probability that your money will grow in the market, right? Or red light mode, which means there is a low probability that your money will grow in the market. And I showed how you can set all this up in the free version of stockcharts.com. That's in part one of this training. And I put step-by-step instructions of how to set up your price chart at the bottom of your MPX checklist, which you can download right below this training or in the resource library section of your membership site. And for people who are alive, I will post that template in the chat as well. So that's the MPX checklist template. And that shows you how to set up your charts. Where is it? Here we go. Here's MPX. So here's the checklist. And down here on that last page, it says how to set up price charts. Okay. You don't need to buy stockcharts.com. You don't even need to do the free trial. You just go to the website, set up the chart, save it, and bookmark it. Boom, boom. Off you go. And that's how to make the charts look like the charts that I'm showing you. And then after asking MPX question one, which is, should you be in or out of the market? You learned how to answer MPX question two, which is if in, then where? If out, then where? In other words, is there a way that we can accelerate the growth of our money safely? And in order to do that, you learned how to look at different slices of the investment world to see if you could find one or more slices with a high probability of growing your money faster. So we talked about how one way to slice up the investment world is by the type of company or sector or category. So there are 11 specific sectors in the US stock market, and you could find a fund that tracks any of those sectors. And it's good to know these sectors when you're looking at if you wanna invest in single stocks, which is what we're gonna talk about today. You also learned how to use the Fab Four price charts to get to see whether any of these slices make it onto your short list of things that are worth investing in or not. So if a slice is a yes on all four of these price charts, meaning the image is going up and to the right, then it makes our short list. And then you can compare them to each other to see what are the absolute best. So do you remember what the Fab Four price charts are? Or do you remember what any of them are? Well, I'm glad we're reviewing. So if you don't remember this, you might want to go back and watch part one and two. Fair enough. Thank you for your honesty. So there's the absolute daily price chart. That's where we normally start. It's just, here's the price of the thing. Absolute weekly is the next one we look at because it gives you a different perspective. The relative daily and the relative weekly. So those are the Fab Four price charts. And then when we talk about relative to what? Relative to what? Well, relative to your free baseline rate of return, which is the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. Yeah, Sam, SPY, exactly. That's one of the funds that tracks that. So that's the thing you have to beat. Remember, that's the benchmark. And you can keep track of your research in the MPX matrix template that I shared with you. So let me show you the MPX matrix template, and I'll also post it below the video and in the chat. So here's the MPX matrix template where you can track the results of, like, okay, here's each symbol you're looking up. What does it look like? Daily, weekly, absolute, daily, weekly, relative. And if it looks good, if it's like, yes, 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 all across the board, eight yeses, then it makes your short list and you can compare them to each other. And you can add other ticker symbols here. Those are just some of the ways of slicing up the investment world. So that's the MPX matrix template. So we've covered a lot of ground, and Jen, August, and I are putting together a learning and action guide for this to help you review and integrate. So we'll post that below the video as well. And then we'll also create them for MPX part one and two to help you integrate this. But like the main thing I want you to get is the S&P 500 of dividends reinvested. That is your benchmark. That's the thing you're comparing everything against. And if you can't beat them, join them. That's like the key first principle to get. All right. So I know we covered that really quickly. So if you're new to MPX, it's like, oh my God. And if you've been in the program for a few years, you're like, okay, let's go to the single stocks. So no matter where you are, it's okay. Stick with me. There's always like that next level of the onion or the parfait to explore, right? So now let's look at how to evaluate single stocks. So you can tell immediately how a company's stock is doing and if it's actually worth investing your hard-earned money in. So the first thing I want to remind you of is you've probably heard me talk about the difference between volatility and risk. Does that sound familiar at all? And I talk about how roller coasters go up and down. That's the volatility part. But as long as you stay on till the end of the ride, the risk of getting hurt is minimal. The risk of the longer you stay on, the risk of losing money goes down and down. Okay. Does that sound familiar at all? Do you remember me saying anything like that? So that's when I talk about that, I'm talking about the entire stock market. So I'm talking about MPX or the buy and hold strategy. That is not true of single stocks. That is not true of single stocks. So even companies that were considered totally stable and conservative have gone out of business completely. So that's why in general, I don't recommend owning single stocks. So if you're just getting started investing, maybe like skip this for now. There's one case where I would say it makes sense if you feel ready for it, okay? There's three reasons that people choose to own single stocks once they know about MPX, okay? So the first reason is that they don't believe that owning single stocks will statistically hurt more than help. So like in terms of baseball, if you think about baseball, which I barely understand, but I understand enough to know, like they're looking for that home run instead of base hits, which we'll talk about in a little while. So like, oh, if I get that, like that next awesome stock, that's gonna, you know, double, that's gonna be amazing, right? But another one of the problems with owning single stocks is that it adds another layer of complication to your portfolio, which exponentially increases the odds of missing the signal to get out at the right time. And if you think back to Financial Freedom 101, one of the biggest keys to safely growing your money faster is to manage your losses, to protect against loss, because it takes a lot to come back from a loss, right? So that's why I say, you know, that we want to the highest probability of protecting and growing your money. That protecting part helps you grow it faster. The other thing is that your amygdala, which is the part of your brain that's involved in fear responses, is more likely to get slammed with cortisol and put you into fight, flight, or freeze mode. And in this case, most people freeze. A lot of times this is an unconscious behavior. And so they kind of unconsciously check out at the wrong time, they miss the signal, and that can lose you a lot of money in single stocks. So that's number one, is that, okay, like MPX sounds good, but I don't know that just like owning a bunch of single stocks is gonna hurt more than help. So that's one. The second reason that some MPX investors still choose to own single stocks is they feel attached to owning specific stocks. Like maybe they like Disney or they like Starbucks, like I do, right? And they feel proud of owning shares in that company. It's like they're vanity stocks. It's like an ego thing, right? So I encourage you to add fun and excitement to your life in other ways that aren't going to put your financial security and freedom at risk. Like I've gone through with some Financial Freedom Accelerator clients and I'm like, why do you own this? Why do you own this? They're like, well, we like that company. I'm like, okay, like you can do that. But if you like that company, you could just buy their products also, you know, like you don't have to follow their stock price down, you know, just because you like the company. So I don't think those are great reasons. The third reason, and this is the reason I would do it. If you're going to do it, this is the only reason I would do it. The third reason is they feel confident that they can generate higher returns on some of their money, and it's worth the extra hassle. It's worth the extra time and complication investment. So this is the case if you have a really good understanding of the MPX strategy, you've got the basics down. You're like, MPX, got it. Yes. You have clear rules for trading stocks. You're filling out the trade history tab of your wealth dashboard. Your wealth dashboard is updated. That way you can get a realistic and honest view of your trading behavior. So if that's you, then okay, go ahead and invest in single stocks, right? So you already really understand APX, you have good rules for trading, and you're up to date on your wealth dashboard, and you're filling out the trade history tab. Like if you're doing that, okay. So let's say you're there. You've got those basics down. If you really want to invest in single stocks, then here are the guidelines that I encourage you to follow for single stocks. So first of all, make sure you are using your tools, okay? You are connected to your money. You know what's going on with your money. So your wealth dashboard is complete and updated each month, and you have your MPX checklist easily accessible, and you know how to use it, okay? So make sure that you have your dashboard and your checklist ready to go and up to date. You really need that if you're gonna be successful with single stocks. Second, if you have owned single stocks in the past, then I encourage you to fill out the trade history tab of the wealth dashboard and take an honest look at your trading behavior. So like, is this another money leak like we see with the Dalbar research stats? Like that, it might be better to just avoid single stocks for now. And then the third guideline is like, let's say you're tracking your trade history, you're using your tools. I would encourage you to keep single stocks to less than 10% of your portfolio, at least for now, okay? Just because when you're adding single stocks, you're increasing the risk, you're increasing the complication, right? So that is, I would say like keep it to 10% of your portfolio. Okay, so let's say you're interested in owning a particular stock. How can you tell if it's a worthwhile investment? So the first thing you want to do is you want to see if the market in general is in green light mode or red light mode, because you don't want to be investing in part of the stock ship if the stock ship is sinking, right? So the first thing you want to do is make sure that if you're considering single stocks, that the overall market is in green light mode. Okay, so you're following like the macro trend, right? So, okay, market's in green light mode. The next thing you're gonna do is use the Fab Four price charts, just like you did in MPX Part Two, to see which stocks are worth considering. So I think the easiest way to do that this is to demonstrate it with an actual stock. So would you like to do that? Okay, so let's take a stock that my husband is attached to. or feel free to post a ticker symbol in the chat if there's a particular stock you want to get look at. But a lot of people like Apple and use Apple products. I have a MacBook Pro. My husband feels very attached to Apple. Ooh, Nvidia, that's a good one. Yeah, maybe we'll do Nvidia too. Let's start with Apple. So the first thing we're going to do is look at an absolute daily price chart. So this is just the price of Apple tracking its closing price each day. Okay, so you look at that black squiggly line. We're going to start with the absolute daily chart just to see what the stock is doing. You start with a 3.5 year chart that gives you like a good amount of information. You can always zoom out or in. So when you own Apple, you own that black squiggly line. So when you look at this black squiggly line, is it up, down, or I don't know for the most part? Go ahead and type in the chat. Is it up, down, or I don't know? I'd say up, but it's mostly up, right? Like there's always that volatility, but I would say that overall it's going up. Great. That's what we want to see, right? Then you can add the 70 period moving average. So we're going to exponential moving average, 70. And that puts that blue line on there just to filter out some of the noise and help our brain see, okay, yeah, in general, this is moving up, down, or I don't know. And if you look at that blue line, it does still, you know, look like it's moving up in general. If you want, you can also put the 161 day line on just to give you an idea of if it's, you know, if the growth is speeding down or or speeding up or slowing down. So when you see the blue line above the red line, it means that the growth is speeding up. And when you see the blue line below the red line, it means the growth is slowing down. So right now you can see the blue line has crossed above the red line. So the growth is speeding up on that. And then finally, you want to do your best to put two parallel lines, one at the top and one on the bottom, where you link up as many of the peaks and as many of the valleys as you can. And then that creates kind of a little channel. So you can see if that channel is going up, down, and sideways. So if I were going to try to link up the peaks and valleys on here, I might go something like, that and try to make them parallel. So that's kind of how my brain sees it. So like that overall channel is going up, right? That's what we want to see. So that was the absolute daily chart. And once you have your price chart set up, I want to give you some questions to ask yourself as you're looking at these price charts. Okay. So here are the questions. Is the price going up? Is the blue line above the red line? Are the highs and lows rising? Like the peaks are getting higher, the valleys are getting higher. Is major resistance broken? Now, this is something we go much deeper into in the wealth training on trading strategies. So we're not going to go too deep into support resistance here, but basically, like, has it broken through a ceiling? And does it look like the dominant trend is higher? Okay. So with those questions, and I encourage you to take a screenshot of this. And we'll look at the chart together with those questions. So is the price, the black squiggly line, going up? We already said yes. Yeses are obvious. If it takes more than a second to answer the question, then the answer is no. Is the blue line above the red line? Yes. Are the highs and lows rising? I would say yes. Is major resistance broken? So resistance is like when there's a ceiling where the stock keeps bumping its head on a ceiling. And right here, there was a lot of resistance right here. So do you see how it went, bumped its head, bumped its head, bumped its head. But so it had some trouble. It tried like four times to get past here. And then it finally did. So I would say yes. I would say it broke through some pretty significant resistance. Hopefully you can see that. You'll get better and better at seeing this as you look at price charts more. And is the dominant trend higher? We drew those lines and it looks like yes. So that's all on the daily price chart. I would say like daily price chart looks good. And then we can change it to the absolute weekly just to filter out some of the noise and kind of look at the same thing. On the weekly, it looks even better. You know, the blue line is clearly above the red line. You can see the trend is up. So is the black squiggly line going up? Yes. Is blue above red? Yes. Are the highs and lows rising? Yes. Is major resistance broken? Yes. And is the dominant trend higher? Yes. So I think it's even more clear to see on this weekly chart. So if the absolute price chart looks good, and in this case, it does, then you would want to look at the relative price charts. Do you remember what it's relative to? The overall market, right? And so how you do that in stock charts, I'm going to go back to day. I usually start with daily, so I'll go back to daily. How you do that is you put in the symbol in stock charts that you want to look at, and then to compare it to the market, you put in colon, and then the symbol you want it to compare it to. So I usually use IVV because that's a fund that tracks the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. So this is the symbol I usually use to compare. You could also do SPY. They're basically the same thing. You could do FXAIX, like any S&P 500 index tracking fund is fine. So I'll just do IVV because that's what I'm used to and click update. And so now this is a little bit different. So this isn't the price anymore. But is the black squiggly line going up? Well, it was, and then it went down for a while. And now, since April, it looks like it's going up again. So I would say recently, yes. But it is recent. So the blue line is coming up towards the red line. So I might want to see a little bit more, you know, but it does look like the trend is changing. Okay. So then we can look at relative weekly to get a bit of a different viewpoint. So you see the trend was up and then down, and now it looks like maybe it's going up again. It's hard to tell. We're kind of in the middle of it. Is this going to continue to go up and break higher? Or is it going to like come back down and go sideways? Like we don't know yet. We're living in it. Right now it looks like it's outperforming, and we don't have enough information to know if it's going to keep doing that, but it does look like the trend is changing. So let's say, okay, well, it looks like right now it is going faster than the overall market. So I think maybe I want to take a chance on it. So now here's the step that I encourage you to add when you're looking at single stocks. So what you want to do is pull up another relative price chart and not just see if the stock is outperforming the market in general, but see if it's outperforming the sector it's in. So do you remember how I said there's 11 specific sectors in the US stock market? So each stock gets categorized into one of these. So communication services, discretionary, staples, blah, blah, blah. And these symbols that I've put here that are also on your MPX matrix template, so you don't have to remember them all or write them all down. You could just look at that template. But each of these, this is a fund that tracks each sector. So you could find a fund that tracks any of those. So which sector would Apple be in? If you can annotate or type in the chat, which sector do you think Apple would be in? XLK, yeah, it would be in technology, right? Probably. I mean, that's a good guess. So in this case, we could compare it to XLK. Now, what if you don't know what sector a stock is in? You're like, I don't know. Well, you can Google it. So you can Google like, what sector is Apple in? Or you can go to stock charts. So I'm going to show you how to do symbol lookup in stock charts. So you go here to symbol lookup. See that? So you click on this little thingy. I usually have it on a sharp chart. And then you go to symbol lookup. And then you put in the symbol. So in this case, we could put AAPL and go. And then we see Apple, it's in the technology sector. Do you see that? So now we know what sector it is. And then you can either Google, you know, technology sector fund, or you can look on your MPX matrix template and see what's a ticker symbol that tracks the technology sector. If I wanted to see what sector GM was in. I just want to see this sector. Symbol lookup, work with me here. GM, there we go. So that is in the consumer discretionary sector. We're talking about Apple. So let's go back here. And now let's compare Apple to the overall tech sector. So we're going to do Apple colon XLK. Okay. And so now this is Apple compared not to the whole market, but to the technology part of the market. So you can see Apple was moving faster than technology overall, and then it was moving slower than technology overall. And now since March, it's moving faster than technology overall again. So is this the beginning of a new trend? Possibly. Like right now, it is outperforming its sector, which is what you want to see if you are, if you're considering investing in a single stock. So like I look at this and I go, you know, right now it's going up, it's outperforming the market, it's outperforming the sector, but it's a little bit recent. So I might compare it to some other things. Like, so for me, it would be a maybe, right? So think about like what I might do actually is like, if the tech sector is doing well, I might just invest in the sector fund instead of Apple itself. Because if you think about this, the whole sector is bigger, it's more stable. Like the for the entire technology sector to go out of business, that's way less likely than like one company going out of business, right? So the whole sector, that's more stable. So if that sector is outperforming the market, then that might be like a less volatile, less risky way to invest than just a single stock, right? So you want to try this with a few other single stocks? Yeah? Okay, let's try it. So let's look at GM, as I brought that up. So here's GM. This is the absolute daily price chart. And I'm bringing this up because for a long time, I kind of like GM was like my whipping boy. I talked a lot of, you know, what about GM? So if you've been in the Financial Freedom Accelerator for a few years, you're like, why is she even showing this chart? Because, you know, it was crap for a long time. So look at how it was like down, 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 down for a long time. But now I've changed my tune because you can see now it's going up, right? So since November 2023, GM has been going up in price. So on the absolute daily, we can see the price is going up. The blue is above the red. The peaks and valleys are going up. The channel's up. Like everything's looking good. And this resistance has been broken. Now we still have upward resistance. Like it's probably bouncing out this resistance right here and trying to work through it. And then we have this resistance, right? So we still have resistance to work through, but it's going up. So I'm watching GM again compared to the overall market. Since November, it's outperforming the market, but it was underperforming a long time, which is why I was down on it. And then what sector did I say it was? Oh, consumer discretionary. So if we divide it by XLY, you can see it is outperforming its sector. So, you know, this has been outperforming a little bit longer than Apple. So I might like feel a little bit more confident in that because it's been outperforming a little longer. But basically what you want to see is it's up on its own chart, it's up relative to the market, and it's up compared to its sector. So let's check out NVIDIA because I'm curious. NVIDIA looks great. Look at that. Up, 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 blues above red. I mean, it's hard to argue with a price chart like that. Let's see compared to the overall market. Oh my God, that's fantastic. Up and to the right. And then let's look at compared to its sector. So I'm guessing it's technology, but let's just try it. Symbol lookup NVIDIA. It is technology. Okay. So NVIDIA divided by XLK. So NVIDIA, look at this compared to Apple. It has this huge history of outperforming. Let me pull up the chart with the moving averages on it. So NVIDIA divided by XLK. Look at that. Lots of up and to the right. And so this, so like if I was going to invest in a single stock, this is what I would want it to look like. Like clearly out, clearly kicking butt, clearly outperforming the market overall, clearly outperforming its sector. Like this is the kind of price chart you would want to see. So that's what we're looking at for single stocks. So now when somebody tells you, oh, you got to buy Tesla or you got to own GM, you could be like, let me see, you know, and you know exactly what to do. So more than anything else, I use this as a sanity check. Like when I notice that I'm feeling like FOMO, you know, like fear of missing out on a single stock, I'm like, oh, NVIDIA is doing so good, you know, or whatever. I go through this process to bring myself back to reality to see what's actually happening and if it really makes sense for me to consider owning that stock or not. One of my friends is really into stock trading and he does tons of research. And so he gave me his precious top 12 list of stocks that are like his stock picks that he's poured countless hours into. And he's here's the magic 12, you know? And I was like, okay, cool. So like in 5 minutes, I'm like going through the stock charts and only one of them fit my criteria, right? So I just love that instead of spending hours and hours and hours pouring through company financials, you can just be like, boop, 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 let me see a chart, right? It's easy. So it cuts through a lot of the noise. So, you know, a lot of these, like, they're all about the story of why they think these companies might do well at some point, where I'm all about price charts. So if the companies do well, it'll be reflected in the price chart. So I don't need to know the whole story necessarily. So that's the overview of what to look for if you want to have some single stocks in your portfolio. And if you are interested in stock trading, definitely check out our wealth training, where we deep dive into how to set yourself up for success with trading, because those systems are going to serve you well, not only for stock trading, but if you want to try other assets like bonds, commodities, cryptocurrency, you can use those strategies. All right. So let's talk about transitioning to implementing MPX from what you're doing now. Like, maybe you even have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, even 100 ticker symbols. So first of all, I'm not your financial advisor, so this is not financial advice. And I don't know the tax implications for your particular situation. So what I'm going to talk about are just some things to consider, okay? And then consult with your financial advisor and tax preparer to, like, actually make the shift. So the first thing you want to do is find out what the tax implications are. So if there are tax consequences to liquidating your current positions, like selling your stuff, then you want to take those into consideration as you plan your transition. If there are no tax consequences, like your portfolio is all in one or more tax sheltered accounts, like IRAs or 401ks in the US, or TFSA or RSP in Canada, or an ISA that invests in stocks and shares in the UK, then you can sell stuff no problem. You don't have to worry about the taxes. Or maybe it's not in a sheltered account, but you're in a situation where you're not subject to paying capital gains tax, and you think the MPX is a good fit, then it's really easy to transition because you don't have to worry about the tax consequences. So either way, once you're ready to transition, you're going to decide on your strategy first. So we always go strategy first, specific ticker symbols next. So how much of your money are you going to put into the MPX strategy? Okay. So when I first started out, I didn't feel confident in my ability to implement this all on my own yet. So I kept one account with my Dave Ramsey financial advisor, just doing the buy and hold strategy. And then I started managing a separate account at TD Ameritrade, which is now Charles Schwab. And after a while, I was like, why am I paying all these fees when I'm managing my money better than my advisor is? And all my advisor has done is stick me in a couple of company funds and leave me there for years. It was like, she filled out the paperwork one time and then she just keeps getting paid for not doing anything. So at that point, even though I really liked her, I decided to just move everything to the MPX strategy. But there was, a couple steps to that, right? So once you decide you're going to do MPX, figure out, like, how much you're going to put in at first. Like, do you want to split your accounts like I did? Do you want to start with like $1,000, $10,000, $100,000? Like, this is the MPX money. That's the first step. Once you decide you're going to do MPX, then the next step is to decide, are you going to start off as a one question investor, which keeps things really simple. It's just like, I'm either in the market or I'm in cash. That's it. Maybe you're 75% market, 25% cash, but it's either like market or cash, right? Or are you going to be a two question investor, which is more complicated, but potentially more exciting if you need excitement in your investments. So I started off as a one question investor and then I wanted more excitement. So I became a two question investor. Being a two question investor is not necessarily better. But it does afford some opportunities and I like that. So that's it. So it's like, am I going to do MPX? One question or two question, and then determine what allocations you want and compare it to your current allocation. So what I mean by that is, let's say you decide to be a one question investor. The simplest way to start is to just be 100% in question one, like you're in or out of the market. So you're either in the stock market or cash, easy. So if your current portfolio is already invested 100% in the asset class of stocks, even if it's a bunch of different ticker symbols, you can just move it all over in one sweep by selling all your current positions, consolidating everything into one ticker symbol like IVV or SPY or whatever your, MPX symbol is, because you went from being 100% in stocks to 100% in stocks. The asset class is the same, but now you've made your strategy really powerfully simple and clear. If your current portfolio is split between stocks and bonds, and you want to keep that ratio, you could sell everything and consolidate them into a stock fund like IVV and a bond fund like BND. So now instead of having 80 ticker symbols, you have two, but your asset allocation is exactly the same. And then from there, you can ask yourself, do I want to be 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds right now? And then adjust your allocation as you see fit. If you notice yourself feeling freaked out about when is the best time to move it, like there's the fear of losing money or the fear of missing out if you buy and sell at the wrong time, then what you can do is transition in steps. So you could do like 1/3 of your portfolio on day one, another 1/3 3 weeks later, and the last 1/3 3 weeks later. So that this is a version of dollar cost averaging, right? You're stepping in and out in chunks, and that can really quiet down the mind chatter and help you just stick to your strategy without freaking out. Okay, so now that you've learned how to evaluate each asset class in general, you've learned how to look at different slices of the market, even single stocks, let's shift to a broader perspective of what's really going to set you up for success with investing long term. Okay. So first of all, it's important to have the right tools and systems, right? Like your money date, your wealth dashboard, the MPX strategy, your checklist. And you have those. Yay. But you also want to have the right mindset and behavior. So this is the absolutely critical distinction that most financial advisors and investors leave out, which is the mindset and behavior part, which is really like 80% of the game, maybe more, right? Because you can have the best tools and systems in the world, which I believe you do. I believe you've discovered those in this program, but they don't work on their own. Like over time, you'll naturally start to phase out the parts that are most important. That's human behavior. So I'll show you why that happens in a little bit and what to do about it. But it all stems from most people believe that money is one topic, that there is one world called money. But there are actually two completely separate and different worlds of money, and they have like almost nothing to do with each other. Like they both have to do with money, but they don't have anything to do with each other. And not knowing this distinction and understanding the difference between these two worlds of money can get people in trouble like all the time. And it really sabotages your financial success, security, and future. So once you see this, it's going to make a lot of sense and you'll be able to safely accelerate the growth of your money. So first of all, I want you to imagine two different sports like professional baseball and figure skating. Both are considered sports, but they're completely different and they have completely different skills and rules, right? So imagine trying to play baseball by the skills and rules of figure skating or vice versa. You'd probably end up with a bloody nose. So that's what happens when people don't understand the difference between these two worlds of money. They keep hurting themselves. So the first world of money, as you probably heard me talk about, is the make money world, right? The make money world, the earnings world. And then the second world of money is the grow money world. And once you understand the difference, then you can see why it's so painful to bring money, make money rules and skills into the grow money world. So let's look at the make money world first, okay? The make money world is about putting in time, effort, and energy to create a result, right? The mindset of this world is survival of the fittest. Where are the opportunities? Where are the jobs? Where are the clients? How do I survive? How much do I need to make? So before currency was invented, it was like, how many buffalo do I need to bring down, right? It's all about effort and generating. So you have things like food, shelter, and clothing, right? You never need to save or grow money. You can just keep generating throughout your life. Another characteristic of the make money world is that you tend to look for the big windfalls. Like where can you hit a home run, right? So like trying to do a big launch or get a big client or something like that. Like that's very popular in the make money world. And in the make money world, there tends to be more what we might call fairness. So let's say you charge $200 for a session. You deliver the session, you receive $200. At a $50 an hour job, you work an hour, you get your $50, right? So you put your time, effort, and energy into something and you expect to see a result. So that's kind of how the make money world works. let's compare this with the grow money world. So in general, humans really haven't developed an effective mindset for growing money. That's why we're having this conversation. So one hugely important difference in the grow money world is that it's not based on effort. It's not based on effort. This is tough for human beings to grasp because humans are so conditioned in this like survival-based make money rules that they love to believe that if they only put in enough time, effort, and energy, it'll increase the returns. And that's not necessarily true. So one thing is that frequency is your enemy in the grow money world, meaning the more you look at your positions, the greater the chance you'll lose money. So you do not need to be checking stock prices 3 times a day. Please do not do that. Okay. So one brain hack that I recommend is if you have any stock trading apps on your phone where you can see the current prices of various ticker symbols and if they've gone up or down, just delete them. It's noise and it can trigger your amygdala into that fight, flight, or freeze mode and convince you to do something really stupid. So the truth is that a little bit of time, effort, and energy can help, like learning the MPX strategy in the first place, checking the price charts on your money date, you know, or like finding the right rental property to buy and get it stabilized. Like that's okay, right? But at the end of the day, the grow money world cares only about results. It doesn't care about your age, doesn't care about your self-described risk tolerance, doesn't care about how much time and effort you put in, just results. Did you align your money with the market? Yes or no? That's it. It's not fair. But it's also not complicated, which is kind of good, but it's also kind of a problem because human beings tend to want to complicate things. But when you can embrace this, it can give you so much relief and freedom because you can focus your time, effort, and energy in the make money world where you're going to get the biggest return for your effort. And then you can transfer some of that money into the grow money world where it can work hard for you without your time, effort, and energy. So the first rule of the grow money rule, the grow money world is to follow the trend. I encourage you to write that down. Follow the trend. I'll put it in the chat. Follow the trend. Align your money with where it has the highest probability of growing. That's what we're doing with MPX. Buy stuff that is already doing what you want it to do, which is to go up. Ride the horse in the direction it is going. Okay. So now you know how to see the trend using price charts. You want up and to the right. Okay. So follow the trend. What are you going to do? Follow the trend. Yes. Good job. The second rule is to buy price charts, not ticker symbols. So buy charts, not ticker symbols, meaning don't fall in love with a particular ticker symbol, whether it's a fund or stock or bond or crypto or whatever it is. So for example, you wouldn't buy Starbucks stock just because you like their coffee. Why would you buy Starbucks stock? Because part of your portfolio, you've allocated to single stocks. And Starbucks is outperforming not only the market, but the consumer discretionary sector. That's when you would buy Starbucks stock. Does that make sense? So follow the trend, buy price charts, not ticker symbols. And then third, wait to be surprised. So this is part of the mindset of a successful investor. Wait to be surprised because you're going to be surprised at some point. So just roll with it. You might find yourself thinking like, why isn't gold going up? Gold should be going up. I must be looking at something wrong because the market is never wrong. So I encourage you to take the approach that the market is never wrong because it's going to help you grow your money more effectively. So when a storm hits the ocean, we don't say that the ocean is broken, right? There's nothing broken about the ocean and there's nothing broken about the market. You can say, oh, well, people are manipulating the markets. Yeah, that's been happening forever, right? That's just like part of it. So it's just that knowing for sure what's going to happen is an illusion. Okay. So we're looking for probability, not a guarantee. And then the next is follow a proven investment strategy. So like I like and trust my stockbroker is not a proven strategy. Your gut or intuition is not a proven strategy unless you've charted it for years on your wealth dashboard and found it to outperform MPX, then I'll give it to you. But you want to follow a strategy that works regardless of politics, regardless of world events. And one of the most painful things about the grow money world is that it's not fair. You can do everything the right way and still lose money. you were so conditioned in the make money world rules that it's very hard for a human brain to accept. So that's why you follow the trend. That's why you wait to be surprised. And that's why you remind yourself that the market is never wrong. So if the market is always right and it isn't fair, what do you have to do? How do you deal with that? I mean, you can't control what the stock market is going to do. You can't control what any asset class is going to do. You can't control whether it goes up 2% in a year or 25% or whether it goes down, right? So there's a lot of things that are outside your control. But there is one thing that is completely 100% in your control. And it's not sexy, but it's life-changing. And that is managing your losses. I know, I told you it wasn't sexy. But managing your losses is completely 100% in your control. That's why we have the rules in the MPX checklist to allow you to control your losses. So the rules to review are follow the trend, buy price charts, not ticker symbols, wait to be surprised, and follow a proven investment strategy. And then I don't know if this is a rule, but we talked about how it's not fair. Okay. So what you want to do is manage your losses. Part of the mindset and behavior of a successful investor is to let price control your winnings while you control your losses. So write that down. Let price control your winnings while you control your losses. So when the market goes into red light mode, you control your losses with each of the four signals to sell, right? The 1% rule, the still 1% rule, the 20% rule, the still 20% rule. That is within your control. So you're going to lose money in red light mode and it's going to feel scary, but you're not going to lose 50% of it and have to wait five to six years to get back to the starting line. You know, a lot of people are investors when their money is not in the market or the market's moving higher. But when the market starts to fall, they often become traders. They freak out and they start buying and selling when they shouldn't. And that's what you don't want to do. That's why your checklist is so important, right? Remember your MPX checklist? That's why community is so important. Staying connected to people who understand what you're doing and can remind you to be smart with your money. So if you can handle it, I'd love to share a few more brain hacks that can protect and maximize your returns. Would that be helpful? Okay, awesome. It's important to understand human neuroscience and behavioral science as it relates to money in order to set yourself up for success long-term with money. So the first thing to realize is that the prefrontal cortex of your brain, that's the part of your brain that makes good conscious decisions that are aligned with your goals. And then this is the part of your brain that says, yes, I want to grow my money and become financially free. The MPX strategy makes sense to me. I'm going to follow my checklist, right? And then there's the amygdala, which is the almond-shaped set of neurons located deep in the brain's medial temporal lobe. And that's part of the limbic system. It plays a key role in processing emotions, and it's linked to fear responses. So making investment decisions emotionally from your amygdala, is that a good idea? No, that's a really bad idea. It's going to sabotage your ability to keep and grow money. Those decisions might not even be conscious. So I mentioned fear responses. Your amygdala is either going to load up fear of losing money or the fear of missing out to convince you to abandon your strategy. And both of those will cause problems. The other thing is your conscious brain can only handle a few things at once. I've read as few as three and as many as seven. And once it gets overwhelmed, it goes offline. And what that means is you're back to making decisions from your amygdala. So the brain hack that I've mentioned before is to own five or fewer ticker symbols and keep your portfolio powerfully simple. Now, if you want to invest in single stocks, also five or fewer single stocks. Okay. So that's one. And now you understand a little bit more of why. And then the next thing I want to say is make it an ongoing practice to protect your amygdala. Protect your amygdala. So be aware of what information you're allowing into your space, whether it's news outlets, social media, or people. Like, just notice, is it loading up your fear responses? Are you feeling afraid of losing money or afraid of missing out on a great deal? Well, you might want to consider limiting your interaction with those sources of information. So one way to do this, another really important brain hack, is to avoid any of those like pick of the month newsletters. Like the plague they are. This is a story-based $1 billion industry with the highest paid copywriters on the planet. So they will sell you stories about specific stocks, which hook your emotions and have your amygdala going, oh my God, we have to buy this stock or we're going to miss out on the deal of a lifetime. And then in the next issue, they sell you different stories about a different deal of a lifetime stocks, and you end up with a gazillion ticker symbols and money just hemorrhaging out of your portfolio and destroying your financial future, right? So between the story-based pick of the month newsletter industry and different money channels, like you could be getting hit with dozens, hundreds, thousands of ticker symbols a day. It's totally overwhelming. Your prefrontal cortex shuts down and your amygdala just goes crazy. So protect your amygdala, okay? So raise your hand if you can agree to protect your amygdala. Okay, awesome. Tell someone else in your webcam, protect your amygdala. Okay, protect your amygdala. Thank you. And then, of course, I want to remind you again to use your checklist because that can really help. Don't rely on yourself to make rational decisions when the market's going down. It's too scary. Your amygdala is too likely to get triggered. So follow those good conscious decisions that you made from your prefrontal cortex back when you had access to it by following your checklist. It's going to keep you honest. It allows you to take the right action at the right time. So follow your checklist, follow your checklist, follow your checklist. Okay. And then finally, let's talk about the number one reason that people fail with this and how to avoid this pitfall. So you now know that your mindset and behavior when it comes to money is 80% of success, right? The mindset and behavior part. And over time, what's going to happen is you naturally start to phase out the parts of your money systems that are most important, the things that got you here, right? This, the number one reason that people fail with money or any area of life that they're looking to improve is that they disconnect. So when they disconnect, they stop doing their money dates. They stop using their wealth dashboard. They stop following the MPX strategy, or they stop using their checklist. Or they use these tools, but they keep tweaking them and tweaking them until they no longer resemble the originals and they no longer work. So bit by bit, human behavior is to stop doing what works in terms of keeping and growing your money. It's a lot like working out with a personal trainer, if you've ever done this. Raise your hand if you've ever worked out with a personal trainer. Okay, so they push you and they teach you like how, you know, the right form and everything. And then you go off and work on your own. So over time, if you go off on your own without a personal trainer, what happens is you'll tend to change the exercises, maybe not have the form as good, maybe not push yourself as hard, or even stop working out altogether. Why do we do this to ourselves? Like, is we found something that worked. Why don't we keep doing the thing that worked, right? Well, the first reason is an NLP concept, neuro-linguistic programming concept called your ecology. You familiar with this? Your ecology? So ecology is a human being's natural resistance to a new way of doing something or a new way of being because you haven't survived it yet or you haven't survived it long enough. So the part of your brain that's concerned with survival is always going to be working hard to revert back to the way it used to be because that's what was safe. And this can sneak up on you, have you disconnect, and all of a sudden your old behaviors and patterns around money start like seeping back in. The second reason people disconnect is because their amygdala got triggered. Like that fear of losing money or the fear of missing out happened. And then the third reason, and this is going to sound so weird, the third reason people disconnect is because of wanting to belong to your family. So much of human survival depends on belonging to the tribe, back when a lot of us were in tribes, right? And the first tribe you belong to is your family. So that might sound really weird, but if you didn't grow up in a family with financial stability and wealth, it can be hard to feel like you belong to that family as your stability and wealth grows. So sometimes people disconnect unconsciously so they can still belong to their family. So how do you keep yourself from disconnecting and actually sabotaging your success? The secret is to stay connected. stay connected. That's absolutely critical to stay connected to people outside your family. If your family is not, setting you up for success with this, to support you in staying connected to your money, your systems, and your strategy, to remind you to follow your checklist, not to let your amygdala take over, right? To give you a sanity check when you get triggered by somebody telling you about their latest stock pick. So just to review the basics, every year, professional baseball players have something called spring training, and they review the basics. We tend to forget the basics. There's so much power in mastering these fundamental tools, skills, and systems. I've mentioned before that I'm highly sensitive to refined carbohydrates. I call myself a sugar addict. So I'm in a program for food addiction, and the facilitator talks about the importance of staying close to the mothership. So I renew my membership every year, year after year, because I want to stay connected and I want to keep being in that conversation. I want to keep experiencing more and more vibrant health and vitality. I don't want to slide back into my old ways of binging on cupcakes and then having my joints ache and my brain feel fuzzy. So that's why I'm committed to making it super easy and affordable for you to stay connected with this community. You know, my vision is that we support each other in expanding our wealth and financial freedom throughout our lives. And we even have fun traveling the world together, you know, Spain and Japan, and having outrageous experiences like dining at the French Laundry. So that's my vision, you know, of what I want to create here. And regardless of if you choose to stay connected to this particular community or not, the key takeaway I want you to get from this part of the training is how critical it is to stay connected. So maybe you form a mastermind group. Maybe you have an accountability buddy. Maybe you stay connected with this community. Whatever you do, you want to make sure you set yourself up for success with enough connection. Okay. All right. So let's review. We talked about how to evaluate single stocks, so you can immediately tell how a company is doing and if it's worth investing in. So first you're going to look at what mode the market is in. Is it in red light mode or green light mode? You don't want to be investing in any stocks unless the market is in green light mode. Okay. Then you're going to look at an absolute price chart of the stock. Is the price going up? You're going to look at the relative price chart compared to the market. Is it outperforming the market? And you're going to look at a relative price chart compared to the sector. Is it outperforming its sector? We talked about why it's important to understand the difference between the two worlds of money. Different rules, right? You can get hurt by playing by the wrong rules. We talked about how to cultivate the mindset of a successful investor. So understand the difference between the two worlds of money, follow the trend, buy price charts, not ticker symbols or companies, wait to be surprised, take the approach that the market is never wrong, follow a proven strategy, and let the price control your winnings while you control your losses. So some brain hacks to protect and maximize your returns. Delete the stock apps from your phone. Own 5 or fewer ticker symbols. Protect your amygdala. So if you're noticing news, social media, or people getting you freaked out, maybe limit those sources of information. Avoid pick of the month newsletters and follow your checklist. We talked about how to transition to MPX if you want to. So figure out if there's any tax consequences you need to plan for. You can convert all in one swoop if you're already invested 100% in stock, or you can convert into like a 60-40 split, but simplify. And you can also dollar cost average in like 1/3 chunks. And we talked about the number one reason people fail and how to avoid this is they disconnect because of their ecology and family history. And the key is to stay connected. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visualize ahead of time what will happen when you notice yourself feeling either the fear of losing money or the fear of missing out. So see yourself getting to a picture as soon as possible, looking at the price chart, looking at your checklist, visualize your checklist, visualize where you keep your checklist, see yourself staying connected, calling a buddy or posting in our Facebook group. Because when you visualize ahead of time like this, it's more likely to happen in reality. All right. So I know there's a lot of information to cover. I encourage you to review this, review your checklist, and happy investing.